This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Where you can book your spring break vacation. I'll talk more about that. But joining me now is a rock star in her own right, and she's local to this area. She swam at Penn, and now she's trying to flip New Jersey red. She's Paula Scanlon. Hey, Paula, how are you, my friend?
Hey, thanks for having me on this evening or late afternoon.
Evening, late afternoon. It's 5 o'clock somewhere and literally right here. Look at that. Let's start with Penn. I mean, you swam there. You had to deal with the whole Will Thomas thing. President has put a pause on money for you, Penn, to send a message. I know you were happy about that.
Definitely. I mean, I have been so grateful to President Trump for his leadership on everything. I mean, he's only been in for a couple of months now, and I've already seen him sign an executive order saying there's only men and women. I've seen him sign an executive order that says men should not play women's sports. And I've also seen him send the message to my alma mater that men do not belong on women's sports teams, and they are not good people for what they put myself and my teammates through. So I'm happy, but I mean, again, it's $175 million, well, it sounds like a lot of money. The total endowment of the University of Pennsylvania is over $22 billion. So this is really just a small drop in the bucket. And I think, honestly, more needs to happen for us to see widespread change happen at the University of Pennsylvania.
I think that it's about sending a message, which clearly the president is doing here. He's sending a message. That message is being received well by people that are normal. I mean, that's the thing. We're also exposing a lot of extremists here. I just don't, for people that still on this issue don't get that the majority stands with you and Riley Gaines and common sense, sensible people, it's just amazing to me that people don't understand, hey, you know what? Paula Scanlon should not have to swim against the biological male. The fact that there's people that are saying otherwise is it's insane in this day and age, and the polls show that. And I think the president is sending a message that these colleges are standing out on their own. They're taking an elite stance that is just not something that's palatable to America. And by the way, in doing so, the other added benefit to that is they are exposing things like the endowments, how expensive tuition is there, et cetera, et cetera.
Definitely. I mean, I think what we've seen really with this issue is that most Americans agree. I mean, even the New York Times admitted that 67% of Democrats don't stand by this issue. And then we take it to the Senate and you're like, great, 67% of Democrats don't agree with this. And then none of the senators in D.C. vote to keep men out of women's sports. So this issue really is, I don't even know how we're even in this situation if the majority of Americans agree. And also the majority of Democrats even agree. I mean, how many issues do we even look at where we have 80% or 79% of Americans are on the same page? I mean, almost nothing. But yet we still have to fight against these people. I mean, it's just insanity. I mean, there's no other way to explain it. I don't know what the Democrats are doing. Maybe they like losing. I really did think they were going to pivot after November. I really thought, okay, they're going to start walking this back. They're going to start pretending like they actually thought it was wrong the whole time, but they're really doubling down on this. And a lot of, you know, the University of Pennsylvania also doubled down on this too. When Leah Thomas was on the team, they were nominating him for NCAA Woman of the Year. They were highlighting his accomplishments on social media. I mean, these people want to double down on this issue, and I honestly can't understand why.
What do you make of Gavin Newsom? See, here's a guy, Paula Scanlon, who I think is completely full of it, and this fake 180 he's doing on the issue, I don't buy it for a second. Do you?
I don't buy it, but also, he didn't do a 180. If you watch that clip back, It's a very non-answer. It's a very crafted politician answer where he's trying to acknowledge that the girls who are competing against these men might be upset, but also talking about trans people, like he needs to protect them and their victims. I mean, his answer, people were really blowing up about this being, oh my gosh, he's flipping 180. I mean, I don't know if we all watched the same clip, but I really don't think that he even really walked that back at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right. He's trying to play both sides on this. It's just like with the Latinx, right? When he was saying that he never used the term Latinx, and then they just play six times in a row on CNN of him saying Latinx. So, yeah, I do think there's a lot to that. Let's talk about New Jersey. You are now involved with an organization that Scott Pressler has started, which is called Early Vote Action. And there was an op-ed in the New York Post, as a matter of fact, today, saying New Jersey can flip red this November. I was in Atlantic City over the weekend for the state GOP convention that they had the leadership training, and I saw the table there for Early Vote Action. So
what? On Friday, I must have missed you.
yeah, Friday we had our radiothon, so I couldn't get down there on Friday. I was bummed, but what's the feeling like in terms of voter registration and how you guys are doing with all that?
It's awesome, honestly. I mean, I knew it was possible when we signed up to get on, of course, right? We wouldn't be there if it wasn't possible. But the numbers that we've been seeing are great. I mean, people are switching from Democrats to Republicans, which is honestly the best case scenario for us. Before, we've always been focusing on registering new voters. I mean, I've personally gone out there and I've targeted a lot of 17-year-olds who are going to be 18 by the time they're voting, right? Those are first-time voters. Those are first-time registered Republicans. But we're seeing a lot of people who have been registered Democrats flipping over to the Republican side. And so that really is a plus-two situation for us, if you really think about it, right? Because that their side is losing one, we're gaining one. And that has been what I've found to be the most inspiring and made me think that we actually do have the best shot of doing this because of the numbers like that we're seeing. We're out registering the Democrats every single time the numbers come out at the end of the month. I'm looking forward to seeing the end of this month to see where we stand. Every month so far has been great. But again, it's super possible. I think the people are fed up. I think the people don't like how expensive everything is in New Jersey. And I'm sure you talk to similar people that I do and probably hear similar things, but the people are ready for change and they want a Republican governor.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you're hearing that message, Paula, because it makes me happy to hear that that's echoing back. Do they talk about the biggest issues that affect them? Like, I give two things, for example, come to mind right away as somebody who lives in New Jersey. Number one is electricity rates. We're talking about increases from 17% to 25%. The other issue is affordable housing. I mean, Murphy today is actually in Mount Laurel celebrating the Mount Laurel decision that forces towns to build affordable housing. And what other issues are you hearing from people when you're registering them to vote?
Yeah, so affordability would be the first category, obviously. So both those things you just mentioned, I would say, fall into that. People are upset. Renters are upset. Even people who rent out land, owners who are renting out their properties, they're upset, too, with the way that they've been priced out of things as well. But interestingly, and I thought this issue would start to go away, but I would say a top five issue that I personally hear about is what's going on in the schools, the transgender ideology in the schools, something I've obviously worked on for a couple of years now. That's something that will continually come up. I'll hear about that, which I'll say, oh, wow. And another interesting one I want to share is there seems to be a lot of people that think New Jersey needs their own version of DOGE. That is something I think that also comes up a lot in these conversations, which I say, honestly, at first I was a little bit surprised, but who doesn't want their state government to be more efficient with what they're spending and more transparent with what their taxpayer money is going to? And in New Jersey, taxes are very high. And that's another one that comes up, too. People don't like taxing. And then the final thing is there's a lot of people who have been very concerned by the number of people that have just fled New Jersey after 8 years under Murphy. Right. They're saying all of my friends have moved to Florida. All of my friends have moved out of state because they don't feel like they can afford living in New Jersey and they don't enjoy the taxes and they don't enjoy all the different things that have happened under the Democrats. So a lot of issues come up, but those are the ones I found to be most interesting. And again, we're going to keep talking to people. And obviously, as time goes on, things might change. Things might become more relevant, less relevant. So we're obviously going to keeping an eye on it.
Great. Well, listen, keep up the good work. I'm glad you're there. We're really happy that you're involved in this organization, Paula Scanlon. And how can people learn more about it, get involved, roll up their sleeves to help? Like, I know there's a big country music festival coming to Wildwood this summer. There's a lot of people out there that want to do their part to help with the cause. What's the best way to get in touch?
Absolutely. Earlyvoteaction.com. You can also reach out to me on X. I'm Paula Y. Scanlon. We are looking for volunteers always. We're looking to hear about fairs or local events that we can set up a registration table. If anyone knows any restaurants in New Jersey that would let us come in and register voters and also interview some local people and hear about the issues, we're also looking for that as well. So we can't do this without the support of all the people who support us. So I am grateful to everyone who has been part of this journey, and I'm going to meet more of you guys on the road this summer while we will flip New Jersey red.
I definitely have some ideas for you, some places that we should tap for their help and support. Awesome. Paula Scanlon, thanks for joining us, my friend, and give my best to everyone there at Early Vote Action. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rick Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, as we continue along the show here, I do want to tell you about the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, because it's my happy place, and spring break is here, going to be here before you know it. They got to think about something fun to do with the kids, so why not take them to the Grand Hotel for their kids' spring break splash package? The longer you stay, the more you save at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And don't forget, our first live show of the year is coming up on June 20th, so make your reservations now and join us for our first live show of the year. On June 20th, just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Okay. All right. As we continue, Matt DeSantis, we had a good day on Friday. We raised a ton of money. We raised a lot of cash. Matt, Justin, thank you for your help with everything on Friday. Everybody worked really, really hard. We got the job done. $125,000 raised for the Travis Madden Foundation. This is the most incredible audience in radio history. I think we can all agree on that, huh?
I would agree. Yeah, they're very generous.
Very generous and very kind. We love everybody in the Zioli Army and everyone else who gave too.
I always get nervous at the end. I always think, we're not going to hit that goal, and then everyone comes through.
Yeah, you get nervous at the end, but then I start threatening the audience, and then they they kind of come through at the end. You know,
the threats I think are what do it, because we always do very well in that final hour.
Yeah.
I do believe it's the change of attitude from Rich Zioli. It's a fun show up until that 6 o'clock hour, and then it's all business.
Yeah, it's all business, and it's just threatening to shut down the station, flip
the big
format.
Mic.
Get the big mic, Michelle Obama station, the big mic, WMIC, for big microphone, obviously. So, yeah, no, we came close, but we did it. We got over the goal, and that was something. So thank you for all of your help and your support, and everyone who gave. People gave a lot. It was just the whole day incredibly generous. So a lot of fun stuff to look forward to coming up. What do you think, DeSantis? You think Bernie's looking to hand the mantle to AOC?
I don't know. I'm torn. On the one hand, he's drawn a huge crowd, and I don't think it's AOC that's responsible for that. I think it is Bernie Sanders. But on the other hand, what is he, like 83 now? He can't realistically run for president, so I guess that must be what he's doing.
Yeah, I guess Bernie's seeing his own mortality, right? Stare him in the face.
Well, even in that interview he did with ABC News, where he gets up and walks away, at the end of it, he concedes he's tired. He's old and he's tired. That doesn't bode well for his prospects 3 years from now.
By the way, the that Snow White movie, which is flopping really, really bad, The actress in this, Rachel Zegler, keeps making it about her. Like, she keeps making it all about her. It's not about you, but she makes it. It's socialist propaganda. I'm going to get into that a little bit later in the show today, but I just want to play this clip of the actress from Snow White. Here's cut 27.
And to everyone who hates when I win, the winged victory came to the Louvre in pieces. And people still line up to see her. And I can only hope that despite my flaws and despite my cracks and my breaks, and there are many of them, that at every premiere and everything I do, people will wait in line to see.
I'm sorry, but that is the very stereotype I have of Hollywood actresses. Self-absorbed, fragile, narcissistic, all about them, crying, wah, 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 the world's against me. That's the stereotype right there. Rachel Zegler, the actress in Snow White, boom. There you go. Now, Michael Knowles, who I'm going to see in a couple weeks in California from the Daily Wire, shredded this movie, and good for him for doing so. And I'm looking forward to being with him together in California next month for the PragerU Book Club, Cut 26.
Snow White is the first American feature-length animated movie, 1937. It's one of the most beloved movies of all time. Even if Disney had not fallen prey to wokeness and nonsense in recent years, even if Disney still had the most talented people in the world working with the best writers, with a good sense of narrative and the cultural moment, even if everything worked perfectly, it would have been almost impossible for this movie to succeed, because you're comparing it to one of the most beloved films of all time and a truly groundbreaking movie. And Disney was not sending its best. I sat through the whole thing. I don't want to say it was the worst movie I've ever seen. It wasn't. But every way that the movie changed the story from the original, the 1937 movie, or even from the original Grimm Brothers fairy tale, every way that Disney changed the story, it changed it for the worse. This was really bad. It was extremely leftist on every political dimension, racial politics, sexual politics, class politics, regime politics. Its narrative was cowardly. It was just awful.
There you go. Sounds great. Sounds like a blast. Take your family to it. Have a lot of fun. Oof. Man, that is rough. Did you get me a dwarf yet, DeSantis?
We do not have a representative yet, no.
How hard is it to get a dwarf?
Well, the union didn't answer me yet, but hopefully we'll hear from somebody before the end of the week. Also worth noting that the movie did $43 million domestically at the box office, but the estimate is they'll need $600 million after marketing and production costs just to break even.
Just to break even.
So they're not off to a hot start.
Oh, man. Wow. You know who's off to a hot start? Doug Burgum. I predicted this. That Doug Burgum would crush it. And he's crushing it. Come on, DeSantis. I see him.
I love Burgum. He was great. And you know what? He was even better in person.
Justin, I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to meet him at the White House. He truly is, even in person, the best. Burgum is the man.
I'll have to take your and DeSantis is a ringing endorsement.
It's true. I never, ever ask for a photograph with anybody. I'm not a pictures guy. But Doug was so great at the White House that I had to ask for a photo with him. I don't regret it. Doug's the man.
Here's Doug Burgum today talking about all the waste he's finding in his Department of the Interior, cut number 5.
Mr. President, there's a federal consulting group, which was a group inside of Interior, but it was managing contracts from many different agencies that flowed through here. One of those contracts was to do surveys of individuals. $830 million for surveys. And so part of the question was, hey, could we actually see the surveys? And then the surveys came back, and a survey was like 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper with 10 questions that anyone's child in junior high could have put together or AI could have done for free. $830 million. So that's one that we've stopped. And that contract was going out after you were inaugurated, sir. So yeah. It was jumping.
It's a fraud.
Yeah.
It's a fraud.
And they're finding other frauds, too, in various departments as well. It's everywhere in government, and they're trying to expose all this. This was a big focus of the cabinet meeting today. Secretary of the Energy Chris Wright talking about the same exact thing, cut number 6.
Mr. President, I want to say energy is the infrastructure that makes our country run and drives our national security. The Biden administration grew my department, the Department of Energy, by 20%, and expenditure much more than that. All in an effort to reduce the production of energy in the United States and to make energy more expensive. We are stewards of the American taxpayer dollars, right? That's the job of everyone around this table, led by you. We want to reverse that trajectory and care about every dollar an American taxpayer gives us, and are we using it for the benefit of Americans? Let me tell you one thing, huge growth in expenditures, huge growth in employee count, Puerto Rico, an American territory, had its electricity grid destroyed. They had billions of dollars in the Department of Energy to help Puerto Rico, yet they didn't spend that money because that money would have meant more energy, more jobs, more prosperity in Puerto Rico. They wanted to have them as a poster child of wind and solar. This island should run on wind and solar. That just doesn't work. But they cared about politics more than the American people, and they didn't treat the dollars like they were their dollars. This table, the team you have assembled, we're treating the American dollars like they're our dollars.
Now, Tim Walz had to do 180 because he went out there and was mocking the fact that Tesla's stock is dropping, and he was all excited about this. Then he discovered that his state's pension funds have a lot of Tesla stock in it. He's the governor of Minnesota. So he had to go out there and acknowledge that his obsession is borderline pathological. I think he's crazy. I really do. I think the guy's got a screw loose big time. But here's Tim Walz, cut 16.
Prompter, I don't speak from notes, and I try and speak from the experiences I've had with other people on this. And I this guy bugs me in a way that is probably unhealthy. And but
it is unhealthy, you psycho.
I have to be careful about being a smartass. I was making a joke. These people have no sense of humor. They are the most literal people. But my point was they're all mad, and I, you know, said something I didn't, you know, probably shouldn't have about a company. He is agreed. So I make the case.
That's all. Enough of that tubby. So you see, this is what I was saying earlier about Democrats. So they want to be the party of opposition, or they want to try to help Trump get stuff done for the better of the country, to try to achieve progress in areas there. Because I mean, even CNN has to admit that Trump's immigration policies, for example, are popular. But no, look, like Jasmine Crockett, great example of this. She is there for one reason, and that reason is stopping Donald Trump, period. Cut 17.
Let's talk first about this session, some of your goals. Is there anything you're trying to pass? How much of it is going on offense? How much of it is going on defense, trying to stop the Republicans?
Trying to pass? No. I should probably be a better politician and tell you, yes, we've got all this amazing legislation that I can absolutely imagine Donald Trump signing into law. And that I'm just not going to lie. I think that right now it is about preserving our basics and getting back some of the norms that make sure that people have food on the table, the norms that make sure that people aren't going through any extra layer of stress when it comes to figuring out education for their kids. So right now, I can tell you that unfortunately, I am not working towards very much that I would consider being the progress train. Mm-hmm. I am working to make sure that I can minimize the regress train right now. And I think and I hope that my district
appreciates you know, listening to this, thank you. I wish I would get hit by a train, honestly. That's what I feel like listening to this, that somebody would just do right and just end it as I hear her. That this is about. They want to be the resistance. Okay, fine. Great. Be the resistance. See how that works out. Ready? Charlemagne the God, again, who has an audience that talks a lot with people on the left, had comedian Andrew Schultz on, who's another guy who's not afraid to be edgy and crazy, crazy. Like, you know, he's just funny and offensive. And I think he's hilarious, personally. But anyway, cut 19.
If you're a Democrat, I'm going to tell you the worst thing that you could do right now. Speak for that party. Mm-hmm. Okay? That party's brand is in such disarray. They have no ideology. The people that are actually governing, like the Josh Shapiros, the Gretchen Whitmers, the Wes Moores, y'all stay in y'all states and keep governing the party and speak for you.
That's it.
That's what I love what Josh Shapiro was doing on Friday.
Yo.
He ain't speaking for the party. He was like, let me tell you what I did.
Yeah. For my people.
Yes.
And then what will happen is we'll see you doing that for your people, and then we'll start going, I wouldn't mind if he did that for me.
I think, first of all, I like Josh Shapiro a lot. I think he would be a great candidate for 2028, but this is my only problem. My only problem with the Democratic Party is that even the people that are good, the brand of being a Democrat is so bad.
Yeah, you got to rebrand that.
I think you missed an S in there, DeSantis. Did you catch it?
Yeah, we caught it.
I got it.
Okay. So that's two dumps today on the show. One by me, right?
I think that was the first time we had to dump you in a while.
Yeah. I was edgy. I don't think I said the whole word. I think I caught myself.
Oh, you said enough of it.
You said the whole word very clearly. Even the YouTube chat immediately was like, "Whoa, dump that."
I don't believe that. I was like, "Shh."
No, you went S to T. The whole thing was there.
You got in the zone. What can I tell you? Van Jones points out, though, that if these policies keep going this way, the Democrats are going to keep losing. Look, this is what we're saying, right? This is what Van Jones is saying. It's what all these people are saying. Dude, you're going to keep losing. Charlemagne the God, you're going to lose. Cut 20.
If progressives have a politics that says all white people are racist, all men are toxic, and all billionaires are evil, it's kind of hard to keep them on your side. And so we might want to think about, if you're chasing people out of the party, you can't be mad when they leave. And maybe if we had a different politics, we actually said dignity for everybody, everybody's respected and we need you, more people might stay.
Okay, there you go. But the problem is they don't want people there. They are purposely trying to push people away. I mean, that's just where they are. Oh, and if you're wondering about Josh Shapiro and what he does every day, he's now putting out videos. He's definitely running for president in 2028. No doubt about that. I have no doubts. But I have to share this other. We got a lot of great clips here, but this is a good one too. I mean, so many. We're just loaded up here today. Let's see. Here we go. Bernie Sanders again. Bernie. If Elon Musk is prepared to arbitrarily fire workers, this is how Bernie's going to respond. Cut 15.
Even if you're not in the federal government, pay close attention to what they are doing and how they are doing it. All of you know that there is going to be a technological revolution taking place right now, and that is artificial intelligence and robotics. So you're going to have computers and robots replacing human labor. Okay?
Robots.
Now, I happen to believe that if technology can make us more productive, that is a good thing. But the benefits must go to the workers, not just those who own the technology.
You know what I was thinking, too, about the what if we have AI members of Congress and we could just program them and we wouldn't even have to have actual people in there like AOC? I mean, they're basically robots who are just all repeating the same messages. It seems like the media is AI. They're just out there repeating the same messages. It just doesn't seem any different. They're all cloning themselves. They're all clones. It kind of reminds me of a very, very bad science fiction movie, the way they all turn out and say the same thing. All right, coming up, let's talk to our buddy Elizabeth Pipko, Dr. Mike Veneria. Listen, he's going to give you a great smile. Have you reached out to him yet? If not, what are you waiting for? All you got to do is go to VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is going to give you the smile of your dreams. Come on, get a free implant consultation with Dr. Mike. My family goes to him. I go to him. He's a great guy. You'll love the music playing in the office. He's got a great attitude, and he's dedicated to giving you a great smile. That's why for 10 consecutive years, he's been named a master of dental implants among his peers, a master for 10 years in a row. So reach out to him today. Just go to VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com, Dr. Mike Veneria.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Former Republican strategist, still a Republican strategist, and former spokesman for the RNC came in studio to hang out with me today. Thank you for doing that.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you in person. It's been a while.
It has. What, since the convention?
Since the convention, yeah. It's been that long.
It feels like it flew by, but it's a while.
Yeah, and then we were just reminding each other, we were on Jimmy's show together at some point. That seems like years ago.
Yeah.
I feel like my memory, I don't know, there's so much happening all the time.
Everything's going on, you can't keep up.
It's like a million miles an hour. But thank you for not dressing me down like Hilaria Baldwin did to Alec Baldwin. I appreciate that very, very much. So what's new? How are things going? I mean, you're always on the forefront of culture and the colleges thing. I mean, you're in New York. You got the craziness of Columbia. You're watching all this. I saw Columbia's finally agreed to remove face coverings. Like, that's their big give, I guess.
I mean, they're trying. It's almost like they're trying to keep up the standards that they promised the students at the beginning of the year, right? And now they're finally having to keep up their end of the bargain that they actually promised that they're going to do every year but don't have to do. And they're only doing it because Donald Trump is holding them accountable, yep, as he threatens to shut them down, obviously, by pulling all their funding and, of course, arresting some of the students that have been taking part in some really, really disgusting behavior over the last, 17 months or so.
I mean, it seems like the university culture, this is an opportunity now to realign it to at least be open to American values, because I think that so many of them have been openly hostile to American values.
Right. It's crazy that we're even saying that, right? Like, maybe in America we'll finally be allowed to love America. It's just, it's so strange that we got to this point. It's crazy considering also, like, growing up here, a daughter of immigrants, but also just growing up in New York City, the dream was to attend some of these schools. And, you know, my dream came true. I worked my butt off and I have 2 Ivy League degrees and I don't even want them on my wall anymore. You know, I don't even tell people where I went to school because, you know, I grew up and that's all anyone talked about. And now when my kids grow up, if things continue going as they're going, it's going to be the opposite. You know, what school can we send them to that's not an Ivy League university where they spend 4 years, God knows how much money, I won't even think about it, and come home completely brainwashed, having learned absolutely nothing, and actually having ruined their own characters.
You worked incredibly hard on the campaign. I mean, you were everywhere. You were super accessible. Every time we asked you to help out and jump in, you did. You guys won every single swing state. Great work by you, Elizabeth Thank Pipko.
You.
And I think the biggest thing that really I want to credit you with in person, this is the first time since the election I've had a chance to see you, is changing the mindset for people to believe that the election could be fair, because that was what we were going in with, was this notion that they're going to steal it, it's going to be rigged, and you and Laura Trump and Chairman Whatley really did do a long way, or friend Linda Kearns, changing the thinking on this to believe, hey, listen, trust the system.
Yeah, I don't know why. It came up on YouTube the other day, one of my old interviews from maybe a week or so before, maybe 2 weeks before the election. We were talking about early voting, and I was kind of begging people, as I had done for months until that point, to please consider going out and voting early. And it's because so many people, of course, like you said, didn't want to believe that their vote was going to count and didn't know what to do almost. They would, you know, send me messages asking, how should I vote? What should I do? Do we trust mail-in ballots? Should I show up early? Should I wait till election day? Should I risk it? And it was all we talked about, was begging people really to let us spend our resources on election day to get those votes out. And if you could have voted beforehand to get that done, so we didn't have to waste those resources on people like you who were guaranteed Trump voters. And I remember looking at those early returns and realizing people were paying attention, right? It's a very good feeling after months of work to be like, oh my God, people listen. They listen to Laura Trump, to Michael Whatley, they listen to me. And they went out and they did that. And obviously we know how it worked out. But to be able to be a teeny tiny part of shifting the narrative, making people hopefully trust more in the institutions that make up this country, and obviously ending up winning the election, it's almost hasn't hit me yet how powerful it all was.
And then so President Trump gets in there and he says, all right, so men are men and women are women, which I think is amazing. Again, like, we have to say these things,
yes,
right? But I just had Paula Scanlon on, who I know is a friend of yours as well. I mean, it's good. Like, we're doing things that people of this country want. And I'm also glad that it's okay for men to say, I want to be manly again. Like, that's not a bad thing. I'm so sick of the left with their toxic masculinity BS. And the biggest doofus, Tim Walz, running around and screaming about toxic masculinity, the biggest beta there is out there, you know?
Yeah, I every time I watch him, I'm like, I can't believe she picked someone. I don't even know how she found someone worse than her, but I just can't believe she picked him. It was probably one of the biggest political oversights in history. Just such a horrible choice. But yeah, I mean, it's so basic. It's like, you know, American schools telling people that America is good, or realizing that we have 2 genders in this country, or that being a masculine man is okay. It's, I can't believe we're having these conversations. Like, that's really all it is. Yeah. I come from 2 people who fled from who left the Soviet Union, who risked everything to come here, not so that their future children could have to beg people to believe that there are 2 genders.
I want to play a clip of Alec Baldwin for you, because we all know about last week when his wife dressed him down and said, when I'm talking, you're not talking.
Yes.
Okay. And that look on his face. And so I guess his humiliation tour continues here. I don't really know what the goal of all this is. But here, Matt and Justin, let's play the clip. This is Alec Baldwin with his wife, who, remember, let's not forget Elizabeth Pipko, for Hilaria is not her real name.
I was going to say, you're even saying it wrong. It's Eladia.
Hillary.
It's Hillary from Boston.
It's freaking Hillary from Boston.
Yes.
All right. With her phony Spanish accent. And how do you say cucumber in Spanish?
Yes. No, how cucumber. You say in English. Yeah. She forgot the English.
That's right. All right, take a listen.
I've seen one of the loves of her life naked.
Not the love of her life.
He was one of the loves of her life. He was a very important boyfriend of hers. I mean, we'd go see him on Broadway, and he was naked. And his whole, as our British friends, he had his bits out. We went to go see Take Me Out, the musical that our dear friend Scott Ellis directed, and all these baseball players were in the locker room, and they were all turned around naked with their dongs hanging out. And he's there, her boyfriend, and I recognize him. I met him before. And when he turns around with his personality hanging, I'm like, oh, okay. He had like a clarinet hanging from his pants. The guy literally turns around, and we were all like, whoa.
Is this a humiliation tour? Like, do they? I don't get it. Help me out here.
You know what's so funny is if you think back a few years, it was, I mean, a few others as well, but it was people like Alec Baldwin who stood up and said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure Donald Trump does not get back into the White House, right? It's someone like this who thought he would have the power to change people's minds and keep Donald Trump out of the White House. This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen or heard. I don't know why they're doing it. It's kind of like the Meghan Markle thing. You just keep going and keep getting punched in the face until you can no longer find the show that will host you. But yeah. I'm not watching it, but I'm watching the viral clips and I'm laughing along with everyone.
It's like the clip over the weekend when they're in bed together and she says to him, "Now what did you do?" And he said, "Like man interrupting," or do you remember that? Like what the phrase was or something? Or I mean, it's humiliating to see this guy.
It's so weird.
And I have no sympathy for him either. First of all, like you chose to marry this woman. I have no sympathy. He's a jerk. He's always yelling at reporters and the paparazzi.
He killed someone.
Killed someone. There's that. Right. So there's, yeah, maybe I should have put that first.
Also killed someone.
Oh, and then there's that.
Right.
The other thing, too, is the Disney flop of Snow White, huh? How about that?
Yeah.
And just, I mean, everyone who's seen it, and there's not many that have said this is woke socialist propaganda, basically.
Right. I mean, people didn't even have to watch it because while they're promoting it, you know, the star of the film is making you guys not want to go watch it. I love Disney and I love all these films, and there was no chance I was going to spend my money and go watch that movie because of the things that I had heard her say. I think, if I'm not wrong, I think Rachel Zegler is her name. I think she wished, I don't know what the wording was, but she wished all the worst things possible for anyone who voted for Trump was what she said.
Yeah.
I mean, that's apart from some of the anti-Israel and anti-Semitic things I've heard her say. It's just strange to me to want your movie to sell in America and then to decide that you should insult millions of Americans. I don't know what the strategy was, but I think it's, again, people that, you know, live in their little bubble on Twitter and assume that the 8 people that they follow are the majority of opinions in this country, and they're not. And unfortunately for the people that put in a lot of hard work to go into that movie and make it what it was, no one's going to watch it now because of that behavior, and hopefully people will learn the future.
And, you know, Israel's obviously very passionate to you, very near and dear to your heart. Gal Gadot, who was out there, to her credit, she was defending Israel and saying she had to speak out, she couldn't be silent anymore. But then you had her co-star, Rachel Zegler, who was out there saying horrific things about Israel, and so they couldn't even do press events together.
Right.
It was a freaking mess. The whole thing was a mess.
It's so strange. But again, not that I don't stand firmly where I do on Israel, but if you can't even go out and say nice things about people in your own country who may have voted differently than you, doesn't matter how you feel about Israel or anything else, I am not watching your movie, and neither are millions of Americans. And it's sad because it, for all we know, it could be very good, but we will never find out.
We will never know. No, we will not. Before I let you go, and I appreciate your time today, I wanted to play a clip of your former and future boss, President Donald Trump, at the cabinet meeting talking about the economy and the Department of Education. This is something that's cue up cut number 2 as he talks about the Department of Education and the states. And, you know, you've got Florida as part of your home base. I've got New Jersey as part of my home base. I love what his sentiment is here. Cut number 2.
I think it won't be that long before the states will be really running the Department of Education. Our teachers are going to be taken very well care of. And I said, you know, personally, I don't care, union, non-union, it doesn't matter. Teachers are so important to this country and to me. And we're going to take great care of our teachers. And I know it's very important to Linda. Yes. So I think you're going to see a tremendous change very quickly having to do with education. And the process has already begun, very strongly begun.
Elizabeth Pipko, can you remember the last time that a politician actually tried to reduce the size of government, and specifically a president who tried to get rid of a department in his branch of government? Because I can't.
No, of course not. And then got attacked for it.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, I'm sure I didn't, you know, look it up, but I'm sure he was attacked for that speech you just played. Meanwhile, you're playing me a clip where he says he wants teachers to be treated better than they have been up until this point. And I'm confident everybody attacked him because Donald Trump could say he loves puppies and they will find something wrong with that. But the fact is, look what's happening at our universities. Look what's happening in schools that are, you know, K to 12. Look what's happening with our test scores. Look what's happening with the anti-Semitism, mm-hmm. the anti-American sentiment. We need some kind of a change. And if this is it, thank God someone wants to do it. Again, we all know that if it was Joe Biden or Kamala Harris doing it, they would be applauding him. Yeah. So it's really not about who's doing it. But the fact is, we need a change. And whether you like the guy in the office or not, we can all admit that something's got to give. And I'm curious to see what happens.
You know, I'm also really curious about what becomes of Bill Maher's meeting with President Trump coming up. And, yeah. I'm glad that he's going to meet with him. He had a clip about all the gaslighting that's been done. This is something you and I have talked about in the past. The way that they've gaslit us, gaslit the American people for years and years. And we could think about the Hunter Biden laptop story. We could think about COVID, I mean, not coming from a lab, I mean, everything else. And the New York Times in particular is one of the worst, right? We think about corporate media. So, Matt, if you can find that clip for me, I think it is, do you know which one I'm talking about?
We got it. 21.
Got it? All right, yeah. So let's take a listen to this. Go ahead.
Questions. Andrew, what do you think of news that British intelligence knew COVID was a lab leak in 2020 and officially ignored their report?
Not just knew, 80 to 95% certainty. Same with the German intelligence service. March 2020. There's a new book out called COVID's Wake. I was reading it this last couple of weeks, and the core paper that killed off any idea that this was a lab leak in China, the proximal origin paper, which was produced with Fauci and Collins at the NIH and NIAID helping it along, was a lie, a conscious lie, that the people who looked at it, we now have their emails, are saying in the very first days of looking at the virus, this looks very man-made to us. This is so friggin' obvious this is man-made. Well, so friggin' obvious, one of them said. And then they wrote the report saying there is no evidence that this was made in a lab. The question is why? Why would they lie to us about that? And they did.
Well, I can give you one answer, the New York Times. The New York Times said any questioning of this being from a lab was racist, which always struck me as odd because it seems much more racist to go, wow, these people are eating bats.
I know.
I mean, it's just one example, but a good example of why people lost faith in the left, because they do stupid things like that.
The gaslight. I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli, right? They're so disgusting, the people of Wuhan, they eat stuff like that.
Right.
That's not racist to say, but the idea that it came from a lab is racist. But I think, Elizabeth Pipko, it's the bigger issue of just the gaslighting, the corporate media working in tandem. And I think the American people are waking up to this. I really do.
I mean, we know that they are because Donald Trump won the election. Yeah. And how many people were told for, 10 years now that he's the worst thing to ever happen, or Hitler, or God knows what else they came up with. But the fact is, they forgot what their jobs were, and they decided that their jobs were to be, activists and to fight for the politicians that they support and not to actually inform the people. And we caught on pretty darn quickly. And I think in the process, they didn't just try to impart their, their views on us, but they actually tried to, make people hate each other. And that's what I actually am mad at them for, because they divided a lot of people that didn't need to feel this divided. And they did a serious disservice, not just to this country, but to their own industry. And I don't know what's going to happen moving forward, but the proof is in the pudding. Donald Trump won. He won every swing state. Like you said, we know no one's listening to them anymore. So I actually don't even know where journalism goes from here, because they have no, faith from anyone left in this country. Faith in our institutions is at an all-time low. And, in a country like this one, you should have journalists. We have a First Amendment for a reason, and they have destroyed any kind of reputation that they ever had that I believe will take probably decades, actually, to rebuild.
Yeah, well said, my friend. Well said. Elizabeth, where can people follow you?
Oh, my gosh. I believe... I believe it should just be Elizabeth Pipko on Facebook, Instagram, and on X.
Okay, good. All right, well, definitely do that. We look forward to hearing great things ahead from you, and come back on the show and see us again soon.
Definitely.
That's a really good point you made, though, about them trying to divide us. They love that. They love for us to be at each other's throats and to be fighting and hating on each other. It's like they purposely... division to them seems to be all they have. And you know what? I said last question like 5 seconds, like 10 minutes ago, but I'm going to ask you one more before I let you go. It's this. Do the Democrats have a message right now?
I don't think that anyone actually could have predicted the fall of the Democrat Party that we've seen. They don't have anything.
Right.
I don't know what they stand for. I don't know who their candidates are for 28. I don't know what leaders that they have. No one in that party is popular. The ones that are, maybe AOC, Bernie Sanders, are not even real Democrats. There is nothing left of that party. And I mean, of course, expected Donald Trump to win. I didn't know that he could destroy the party of JFK the way that he did. They have fallen apart completely. They have crumbled. They forgot what their jobs were. They made their jobs nothing but destroying Donald Trump for 8 years. It didn't work. And now they have no idea how to build themselves back up. And it is a wonderful thing to see.
Well said, my friend. All right, as we continue along here, our fourth and final hour is straight ahead. I just want to say thank you again for your generosity yesterday with our Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. We raised $125,000 for this incredible organization thanks to your generosity. I'd appreciate it very, very much. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Democrat divide that's going on right now. Plus, New Jersey, all eyes are on New Jersey. And will President Trump get involved in the governor's race there? Should he? We'll talk about that as well. And don't forget something, too, which is that we have our first show live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, coming up on June 20th. It's a Friday. Never too early to make your reservations to come see us. The live shows are so much fun. They are absolutely unforgettable, and you want to be part of that. So mark down the date and do it today. Big Story of the Hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A. Vanaria Dental, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. VanariaDental.com. Yeah, I kind of want to do a deep dive on where the Democrat Party is right now. I agree with what Elizabeth was saying, but I want to do a deep dive on that. Also, later, I was on Jimmy Fallon's show, so yeah, there's that. So we'll talk about that during his show. I know it's a time-space continuum thing going on right now, trying to keep it all straight together. But anyway, we have a lot to get to in another hour to do it. Plus, will Trump get involved in the New Jersey governor's race is the question. I'll tell you about my weekend and what I did down in Atlantic City, and we'll have that conversation too. Plus, if you're wondering about Snow White and why it's so bad, a big part of the message was pure and utter socialism. So I'm going to break that down for you as well. And look, I mean, you know, if you remember the book I read on the air a few years ago, the name's going to come to me. You'll know exactly what I mean. All right. So stick around. We got one more hour to go. Don't give up on me yet. We're just getting warmed up. It's Monday. It takes a little while to get your sea legs, but we're going it full steam ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.